40 chess. Yeah. 40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Let's get it.
Yo, is that Tito?
40 chess. Huh. 40 chess. Hey. Forty chess, this a trade show. Patreon where the trades go. Tap in and watch, that's what you came for. Ain't gotta say my name, they know my name, bro.
What's good, man?
We got McNutted in ATM. Always start off the show with a trade from them. You should always make sure that your trade is in. Patreon, why not be a Patreon? Know you wish you could spend every day with them. Tap in and say what you gonna say with them. Stop harming, can fill up a stadium. Next time you log in, make sure that you bring a friend. We about to kick off, let the day begin. Go follow the socials. 40 chess FF is posted. If your trade is an F, you get roasted. Go like and subscribe for the crew. Apple, Spotify, and the YouTube. You know Cooper got the wall too. Let us give you a walkthrough. 40 chess. This is 40 chess.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back into the 40 Chess Dynasty Football Podcast. We are glad you are here today. For everybody that is listening to us, if you do us a huge favor, make sure you're subbed to the podcast feed and leave us a review. Really appreciate it. For those of you who get to enjoy it on Patreon and watch it, say hi. How we doing? And if you're not subscribed to the Patreon, it's the place to be. Not only do you get this as a bonus, but you can post your trades in the trade show. Lots of good conversations going on up and down all the tiers every single day. And hey, maybe you want to come hang with the big dogs and be in the Savage tier and really learn how to shit post. We do that pretty well. But my man Adam, what's going on with you today, friend?
Yes, sir, buddy. Another week of 40 chess. Another week of chaos in the streets, you know. Bodies going down like flies, and we got, you know, I don't know if it was the one we were looking for, Mike, but I was telling you, maybe, you know, the Bengals looking to find a way to keep themselves in the division. Joe Flacco going for the Bengals, you know?
Taking Browns leftovers. Do you know what they ended up giving up for him? I don't know if I saw that yet.
I think I saw it was a 5th-6th swap. So
that's a win for Cleveland.
I mean, yeah, it's basically like, hey, convincing your league mate to give you $5, you know, but it's something, you know.
Nice. We'll take it. We don't need them anyways. Thanks for the free swap, the free pick, Adam. But talking about trading picks, we talked about it last week's episode. We were going to take a good hard pause. Look,
very
at
hard.
Second round rookie picks. And just in general consensus, we kind of value them as a dynasty community as, hey, man, it's almost a first. You know, we value them pretty highly, especially when they're in deals. Here's the thing. Let's go look at what the ADP became of those guys and really find out whether or not they're worth a shit or not. Because I think we got a sneaking suspicion that they're really not. We overvalue the hell out of them, and you should probably be trading those second-round picks on any kind of a contender in season for a lot less than what we usually ask for. So, Adam, let's fucking start this one off, bud.
Let's do it.
I went all the way back, 2021 class. You remember that one? That was the first class that you and I had opinions on way back in the day.
Yeah, we let people know our opinions at minimum, you know?
Yeah, we hadn't started doing content yet, but you and I were heavily engaged in, let's just say, a lot of DMs back and forth in regards to the class, for sure.
We were in a community where we had a somewhat of a voice, you know? It's kind of like being in the Savage, remember?
Yes, sir. All right. So here we are, second round. And for the people out there watching, let me put this up on the screen for them. And this is from May using DLF data, by the way. Let's look at it. First
shout
pick.
Shout out Ryan McDowell. Shout out DLF.
Shout out DLF. Rashad Bateman. Still hanging around.
Dude, you know, dude, Shoddy B was like he probably ADP-wise falls in this category, but, man, he was sometimes going in the first for sure. People were big high on him, including me.
Elijah Moore?
Big high.
Dead. Trey Sermon. Sometimes we saw him in the first round. We made fun of those people.
Yep.
Terrace Marshall. Almost called him Terrence.
I have a team name called Forgetting Terrace Marshall because Mike sniped me on him.
He forgot he was supposed to do something for our teams. Rondell Moore, point of contention. One of our biggest trades involved a Rondell Moore share, that's for sure.
Yeah. I still have a Rondell Moore floating around there where T-Rock was willing to give me a 23 first. This is probably one of my biggest learning curves about the second round picks, Mike. T-Rock sent me a 23 first for Rondale after he went off. He basically had one game where he actually did very well, right? And at this point, he was really peaking. And I never forget, I'm like, I need a first and a second. He basically told me he was going to give me a first and a second, but he had to find a way to go get a second to make him feel better about the cost. And that never happened. And Rondale Moore needs to be cut from that team still, buddy. You know,
very RIP. True. Michael Carter, welcome back to relevance.
Hey.
Look at that.
Arizona.
He's back. Kadarius Toney. Whoops.
There's Amon-Ra, though. Hold
young
on.
Young Joker. Amon-Ra St. Brown, yeah. 20th pick as far as ADP goes.
As good as it gets.
It's probably one of the best we're ever going to find, looking through all this data. Dyami Brown still hanging around. No one really cares, though. Amari Rodgers.
Hey, Kenny Gainwell. There he is.
Kenny Gainwell. He had a week, finally, for the first time in his entire career. Let's go.
We need to add Nico Collins to the data set, I feel like. I feel like we need to slide him in. Because
Pat Freiermuth and Nico Collins.
Yeah, he's close enough to where I feel like he could make the data set.
Yeah, that's close. Close. Nico Collins would be a hit, but I don't know. We'll cheat. We'll add him in, Adam. But Rashad Bateman, I'd say, meh.
Nah.
No Elijah Moore. I mean, at one point, though, Elijah Moore was valued pretty high. That rookie season.
So was Shotty B. So were all these
guys. That's
fair.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I think that'll probably be the theme after 1 year, still holding value. But after that, it goes downhill pretty quick. Mm-hmm. No to Trey Sermon. No to Terrace Marshall. No to Rondale Moore. Michael Carter. Kadarius Toney. Amon-Ra. Yes. Dyami Brown. No. Amari Rodgers. No. Kenneth Gainwell. No. Pat Freiermuth.
I don't think Pat Freiermuth makes it, buddy, as much as we would like him to.
Nico Collins, yes.
Yeah.
So what's that give us? Two? And we cheated and went a 2 of 13. Those are the odds that we're rocking with. All right. I get this off my screen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing there is like swing. It was a swing for the fences. Basically, you have two top 10 dynasty receivers or you have absolutely fucking nothing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Gross. All right. Let's go to a different class. How about 2022, buddy?
Okay. This class was notably untalented, they said.
John Dotson. No. I mean, if we're not counting Elijah Moore, we ain't going to count John Dotson.
We were standing for John Dotson, too.
David Bell.
Yikes.
No. Rashad White, I'd say.
I think he gets in the mix. I mean
he had a few years. He's still hanging around now.
Dude, what did he give us? Was it a top 12 season?
I believe so.
If you give us one top 12 season at the running back position, you're a hit, in my opinion.
Malik Willis? No.
No.
Desmond Ridder? No. John Mechie?
Definitely not.
We haven't seen him do anything. Like
same
ever.
As the guy next to
Isaiah Spiller. Oh my God, we messed that one up. Damian Pierce? He gave you, I don't know what he finished in his rookie year, but it was pretty decent, wasn't it?
His value got high, but he never really gave us much. I feel like he still finished as like maybe a back end RB2. I have to go back and look.
Yeah. Alec Pierce? No.
No.
Antoine. Trey McBride? Yes.
Big hit.
Zamir White? No.
He fooled people for a little bit.
Jalen Tolbert?
No.
No.
Matt Corral? No.
There you go.
No. It's over.
Yeah. We got what?
One maybe of 12.
Two? I count Rashad.
Oh, sorry. I forgot about Trey. Yeah.
Two?
Two of 12. Yep.
We're pretty consistent here with twos.
Yeah, absolutely. Pretty. And honestly, now Rashad White was never as good of a dynasty hit as the other guys were, but
right. He's in there. I mean, it's hard when you're compared to Trey McBride, Nico Collins, and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a tough one. All right, let's go to 2023. A little bit more recent, right? Maybe we'll get lucky.
Well, in the closer you get to right now, so 2023, there's enough time, I think, now. For this class, mm-hmm. Given that we have a little bit of data in 2025. But remember, for like 2024, this is one of the things where people, I think, call people in Dynasty, right? They say, oh, this is such a hit. I mean, we don't have enough data time when we say it's like their second year. We need to kind of see what it comes to be.
I think so far, like, we're at, you got 2 years, and if you're really not doing it after 2 years, and especially after 3 years, then we're done with
it. Yeah, like this class, toast. I think we're starting to have enough data time, right? But 2024, I'm not sure that we do yet.
Charbonnet? I'd say no, but I mean, he's still got value. Like, yeah. I still start him on some of my zero RB dynasty teams, you know what I mean?
I don't know that he's a hit, but he's not a miss.
Okay. Kendre Miller? So far, no. Maybe it's looking up. I don't.
It's still a no, I think.
No, okay. Michael Mayer, no. Mm-mm. John Domingo, hell no. Josh Downs, yes.
I mean, I think Josh Downs and Charbonnet is the Spider-Man meme at different positions.
Pointing like, at each other?
They have value in Dynasty. Tell me when they've mattered, though.
Rashi, yes.
Oh, huge hit.
Roshan, no. Marvin Mims, no. Hendon Hooker, hell no. Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Rashad White level.
I think he was a top 24 receiver 1 year, and until the injury this year, he held some value. I'd put him in the Rashad White camp. Yeah.
Okay. Tajay, no.
No.
Sammy Laporta.
Absolutely.
Sammy Ballgame. Man, if only somebody would have told you about Sammy Ballgame back in the day, huh?
Dude, I'm looking at this class though. Mike, so if you tell me Sammy Laporta, Rashi Rice, those are obvious hits, right? No one can debate that.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden Reed and Charbonnet, tweeners. I mean,
yeah.
This class gives you more, but now the only problem is this, right? That we could be looking at it in a year's time from now. Jaden Reed after coming off the injury and all that, taking a huge plummet in value. Charbonnet, maybe similar conversation. Some of these guys I think are hanging around, those two in particular, where we haven't made a full call, is probably because there's not enough time, and as guys get older, the community starts to fucking not care anymore. A lot of this age and recency to the drafts that we take them in is part of the reason they're valued so high.
We got two real yeses and then three maybes. How about that?
Yeah.
But to your point about the three maybes, we're 3 years now removed from this class, right? From drafting this class. This is it, you know, even for the maybes. We're ready to make calls on the no's for sure, but even the lukewarms, right? Like Josh Downs trending down, no pun intended. Jaden Reed trending down, no pun intended. Zach Charbonnet holding serve, all right? But let's just say Zach Charbonnet continues to just be just a thorn in the side of Kenneth Walker. That's all he is, right? All of a sudden, he's in that Tyler Allgeier, no one gives a shit.
It's funny because if you asked after week one, the Sharp Truthers were ready, you know?
They were ready. They were ready to come out of the woodworks. We told you. And not really, you didn't.
Yeah.
kind of, sort of. All right, let's go to 2024. So last year's class, we're not that far removed now. Ladd McConkey. Yes. But maybe.
I mean, his value is trending down, but he's still probably going to end up being a yes, even if it was worst case scenario, he's still probably a yes.
Keon?
What he gave you first year.
No.
We're waiting and seeing still.
Waiting and seeing. Trey Benson?
It's so hard to say with that injury. We had a chance for it to be a huge yes.
Xavier Leggett? No.
No, I think it's a no.
Michael Penix? Yes.
This is where I'm glad you answered that way, because I know you have a lean and a bias.
I do.
He's not a yes yet at all. He's a wait and see.
He's not, but I want to be a yes. I mean, we share the same name.
What has he actually done for teams as far as production to prove anything? Yeah,
nothing.
He got the starting job. I think that's probably better than people thought sometimes drafting him.
If he started in week 18 last year.
Absolutely.
He's a big winner.
Had a huge lineup decision that week.
Ricky P? Got to be in the same thing, right? Like,
I feel like he's trending the right way. The signs are good, but we don't know for sure.
Adonai?
Adonai is more like a Xavier Leggett, you know?
Dead.
Yep.
Blake Corum?
He's getting run this year.
Still mostly dead.
Yeah, not great. I mean, Roman Wilson's about as dead.
Dead. Jalen Wright, dead, dead. Mm-hmm. Jalen Polk, dead, dead. Marshawn Lloyd, dead, dead.
Right.
This is, reminder, this is 1 year removed. We are one full season and five games.
And if you go to the next two players, it's not like Malachi Corley, Jermaine Burton are
dead.
Know, spitting images of dead as well.
Yes.
So the point is really, though, like you can get into the tweener conversation, right? Michael Penix and Ricky Pearsall together.
Michael Pearsall.
Ricky Pearsall, Michael Penix, right? Trey Benson, even. We believe. You don't have any data to tell me that. You do. You don't have any data that says that other than their dynasty value still is kind of hanging around in the float. And people believe. You haven't seen anything yet. So as far as true hits, I mean, Ladd McConkey was a smash in year one. Trending the wrong way, but even now, you still got to say he's a hit.
Right.
And you tell me, Mike, I think that's it. Guaranteed.
It's guaranteed, yes. After 1 year. All right. We're no better than we are for 2023, where it's like three wait and sees and two
the
hits.
The difference, though, is
somehow even worse.
The difference is, though, Keon Coleman, right?
Yeah.
Some of those games he's had recently, people might be back all the way in. You could sell for a pretty decent price. Same with Ricky P and Michael Penix, right? So there's a lot more meat on the bone as far as dynasty value and probably tradability goes, but I can show you the rest of the class. Excuse me, that's already, with only a year's worth of data, we are ready to be completely done. You know,
I think that's probably the most important takeaway right there, Adam. I mean, we are only a year away, and we've already written off half of the second round as dead.
Now, mind you, this is also in one of the best classes we've had in a long time.
Yeah, because of all the quarterbacks and how deep it was, right? Like, Michael Penix, a first round, was it, eighth overall pick in the second round of this rookie draft.
Go up to the first round just to see, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, when I say that, like, listen to these names. I mean, Caleb, Marv, Jaden Daniels, Malik, Drake May, Rome, J.J. McCarthy, Brock Bowers, Xavier Worthy, Brian Thomas. The only one that didn't hit, factually hit right now so far, is Jonathan Brooks, and he got the injury.
Like, yep.
Everybody else is a hit. So, I mean, you can go back and look. This far in, a year and a half, we don't see that. You never see that. It just doesn't happen.
That's crazy to me, man, that we're that fast. I knew it was bad. I didn't think it was this bad. That's wild. All right, let's look at this year's class. And granted, we're only five games in.
Yeah, this information is going to be...
Five games
in. The thing about it is we have so little information, to your point, to solidify what we think.
Mm-hmm. But Colson Loveland, we haven't really seen anything from him. Matthew Golden, while Emeka Buka's shining, had like a couple moments, I guess.
Yeah, he's had some moments, but he's still, I think, probably, he's shown enough at this point to feel optimism, but he's still waiting and seeing.
Luther Burden had a game, I guess.
He had some moments in the game.
Jaden Higgins hasn't done shit. Trey Harris hasn't done shit. Cam Scadabo, kinda, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he looks, I would say of these assets so far, he's had the best start.
Jack Besh, nothing.
No.
Bashal Tuten really...
barely any moments. We needed 4 points from the kid to get a win, and we didn't get it.
Jalen Knoll, we haven't seen. Tyler Shuck hasn't beaten out Spencer Rattler. Yeah, Jalen Milroe has beaten out Sam Darnold. Mason Taylor's
looking really good.
That's about it, though. These are your second rounders, and these are only five games in. Like, we're not ready to call them. But, Adam, we look back at the rest of these classes, right? And even last year's, we're ready to already write people off. I think this should be the key signal that second rounders ain't that fucking good, man. Yeah. They don't deserve what we value them at all. I don't think so. So sitting here looking at, let's have this discussion. Because, I mean, if you want to argue with us or argue the data on it, by all means, we want to hear your opinion and we want to hear the counterpoint to it. Let it be known. Hit us up on Twitter, Discord, whatever, however you're consuming this. Let us know. We want to hear your feedback. But, Adam, let's have this discussion, though. Like, I think both you and I can almost emphatically say that second rounders are just a perceived value, right? It's a liquid pick, which we like in Dynasty. We like to have that liquidity and be able to use it to grease a piece on a deal, you know, or before the rookie draft or during the rookie draft, use it as a catapult maybe to jump up a tier or to go get that guy that you really covet because you think he's fallen, you know, two spots in the rookie draft or whatever it is. I think if you go into it being like, I've hoarded four of these second round picks,
mm-hmm.
The odds going through these class tell you you're probably going to miss on all of them. You know what I mean? You're going to be 2 years in and go like, this guy hasn't done a fucking thing for me. Now, maybe there's a value pocket you can get out of them, but I'm just talking, there's a lot of gamers who play Dynasty who don't have that activity level. You know what I mean? Like, who aren't thinking about using a second round pick as a tool. They're thinking about it, how to build their team, right? Like, how to get an integral piece to their team where they hit on an Amon-Ra. And while we have shown that there's an Amon-Ra or a Sam Laporta or a Nico Collins or a Trey McBride, occasionally a Rashee Rice floating around in the second round that can change your fortunes, the odds of you hitting them with 2, 3, 4 second round picks in a given class still isn't that good. Mm-hmm. Right? You're just as likely to whiff on every single one of them and end up with 4 Marshawn Lloyds, right? Or a bunch of Trey Bensons, or, you know, maybe hold serve with a Rashad White or a Zach Charbonnet down the road. I don't know if the community's really going to catch up to this point and ever like really shift their perception of second round picks. So I think what the play is, the long-term play, at least for me looking at this, is if I'm looking at it as a contender right now, or I'm looking at it in getting deals, even on a rebuilder, and mm-hmm. someone's offering me seconds, I either have to have one of two plans. I need to go like I'm going to use this piece as a stepping stone to another deal or to get something else done. Or two, if I'm on a contender, I need to look at them just as currency because everybody else overvalues them and likes the seconds. I need to be more aggressive in getting deals done for the Javonte Williams of the world, right? Like the ones who are scoring points where you're like, is he worth the second? Is he not? You know, is he worth 2 seconds? Is it a second and a third? You know he's not worth a first. And trading for a guy like Javonte Williams this far along in his career, I shouldn't be worried about dynasty value as much as I like, oh my God, I'm struggling whether or not he's worth it. I think I need to be more aggressive in the aspect of sending that second to get the fucking points on my team. Even if something bad happens to Javonte Williams, getting 3, 4, 5 games out of him is actually what the value of that second round pick should be, right? Like it should be more spot start, fill a hole. We talk about using thirds all the time to get spot start quarterbacks in super flex leagues or get spot start running backs where we're only trying to get a week out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, I think with second round picks, you should be comfortable if you can get 3 weeks out of them. Like that should be your baseline where like, can I use him for the next 3 weeks? That should be your only question. Not, is he going to be worth more? Does he have a chance to go up in dynasty value? I think your bottom dollar, you should be more aggressive as a contender using those second round picks on guys that you're only getting 2, 3 starts out of them. But that's all you really need because that is actually what the true fucking value of a second round pick is. It's not this mythical, it's almost a first. You know what I mean? I think we prop it up way too much.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I just pulled up. I was going through and trying to find a notes page here. I did end up finding it. And I think you bring up a point that I think really comes down to having an honest assessment of how you play the game and what your teams and your portfolio looks like. Because there's a huge, I think, misconception with these players and these picks in particular. And, Mike, here's the reason I say that, right? We just alluded to basically when you look at the pick, which became the player, what then that player ended up giving you, right? And I think the tie in there is basically one, the draft pick is going to end up being overvalued because just generically, I don't care how much you play the game or don't, how new you are to it. Second round pick sounds great to you, right? It's not a first, but you love it. Typically, you'll do what you can to up tier into a second round pick. Mike, when I'm looking at these though, what's crazy is in leagues that players become more valuable than picks, which I still think is the majority of leagues, I would argue that most leagues value players ahead of picks. Where are you at on that overall thought process too, I'm wondering?
It depends on the time of year. It really does, the dynasty cycle. But yes, to the most part, if you just want to go, listen, if we value a dynasty season is 365 days out mm-hmm. of the year, the player is going to have more time as the premier asset. You know what I mean? Because it's, you can contextualize it, you can visualize it, you can see fantasy points, right? Like the redrafters are present. Like right. The redraft crowd, the best ball crowd, the underdog best ball crowd is there hyping them up on social media. So there's more videos of them doing whatever it is. There's more videos post about them playing well, or this is my guy, that kind of thing. Where us as a dynasty community, we're still very niche. Like in the grand scheme of things, we're very niche. So our season of where picks are going to be more valuable than actual players is as a whole not as loud as point scoring season, and it's not as long,
Correct. And I think even there, right, my second point, additional point, I guess I would say here is that even in where those leagues in that time frame, to your point, where it shifts to the picks in the off season, but essentially what happens though, once, you know, anywhere from April to June, typically when most drafts take place, it's those rookie players, right? It's the picks that become players that takes the biggest leap in value as well. Kind of alluding to the point that most leagues typically value picks below players inherently. Now, the reason I bring that up, Mike, is we're talking about this, and I went through, I have this data set, basically from 2023, 2022, a little bit of 2021, going into 2020 and 2019, I have the names for you, but Mike, it doesn't have keep trade cuts values just because, you know, the keep trade cut wasn't around. Mike, but basically what I'm getting ready to tell you is where the, when the player was drafted, right? 2023, 2022, and then where they overall finished or where they're at the moment, and then where their peak was, almost every one of these second round picks, Mike, did actually peak, meaning they got to a point which was higher than when their draft spot was. So I think in a perfect world, in most leagues, I'm probably trying to draft these players and knowing these players are going to get hype pocket windows, to your point, but you got to be diligent about moving them and thinking about it from that standpoint, because it's easy for me and you and anyone else to buy into any type of player. Mike, I mean, tell me players on that list that we still are totally writing off. Not all of them. We're not really willing to write them off at all yet. You know,
right.
We're just not. So I think if you know that you have a chance to sell some of those players, knowing that they're second round picks, Mike, I think you got to be diligent about it. I have no problem selling the pick at the 80, 90% of the dollar, to your point as well, just because what I can tell you at basically the end game, right, 2, 3, 4 years out, is that the pick itself, when you move it, even if it's before it's drafted, you're going to end up ahead of what their end up total value is, that player. I mean, Mike, we're talking about the 2022 class. I'm looking at players, this is over a full offseason ago, that are well outside of the overall 200 range in keep trade cut. The only thing keeping them around, for the most part, is their dynasty, you know, value in young age. But the players of Amon-Ra and of Nico, Trey McBride, Sam Laporta, that's I think the problem you're gonna have to ask yourself. Like, if I had 5 or 6 picks and I missed on 4 or 5 of them, but I hit an Amon-Ra or I hit a Sam Laporta, is that worth it, right? Is it worth 6 second round picks to have Amon-Ra? Is it worth 6 second round picks to have Sam Laporta? That's probably the conversation that also needs to be had too.
I knew this one was floating out there. So for the people who get to watch this on the Patreon, you're welcome. For those of you who are not, if you want to follow along, go look at Rookie Hit Rates article made by our own T-Rock. This is
boom.
T-Rock knows how to write and research. He's very fucking talented at what he does. But I remember coming across
too,
this. T-Rock made this chart. These are rookie hit rates, and this is based off ADP, right, by round. So not when we talk about, you know, we had that great AMA episode talking about rookie hit rates, warp hit rates, based on draft position, NFL draft position. This is just based on how the community values them for rookie ADP. So I'll try to illustrate this the best I can for just the podcast listeners. But essentially what he did is he looked at top 12 seasons based on rookie round ADP and what their hit rate was. Like how many of these rookies from 2018 through 2024 finished with a top 12 season on their fucking resume and then gave all the percentage for it. So like you'll see things like quarterbacks drafted in the first round of your rookie drafts have a top 12 season hit rate of 52%. That means 1 out of every 2 plus, right? That's what 50% means. 52% is going to finish with a top 12 season. So when I talk about, you know, why I'm kind of a QB whore when it comes to rookie drafts and guys who are going to get first-round NFL draft capital, who are going to be valued within the community as a first-round rookie pick, I'm well over 50% on being right that they're going to finish with the top 12 season, which in Superflex leagues is going to matter a fuck ton. Running backs, 48%, pretty good. Wide receivers, 41.67. We know we've had a slew of first round rookie wide receivers, rookie ADP wide receivers that have just done nothing. You know, looking at you, Treylon Burks, right? Like looking at you, Jalen Reagor. And then tight ends, if they're good enough to be drafted in a rookie draft in the first round, which should have been a signal for me about Mr. Tyler Warren, you know, my bad, 100% across the board. And this is 2018 through 2024. Now, the only thing I'll argue is a top 12 season out of a tight end, it doesn't really matter, right? But that's a different discussion, a different episode. But here's the stark contrast. All right, so we go to the second round. So these would be quarterbacks drafted in the second round, Adam. They drop 52 to 45%. 45% is still pretty decent, right? So yep. If you wanted to make the case for Michael Penix, here, there's my Michael Penix plug. We're doing all right, 45%. We have a fall off, but it's not that great. Mm-hmm. Here's the rub. Running backs drop from 48 to 11%, Adam.
Yep.
11 fucking percent.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Wide receivers, 41 to 7.89%.
Yep.
And then tight ends, they drop down to 66.67, which would be the case for, you know, Trey McBride, Sam LaPorta, you know, Mason Taylor. We kind of brought him up on there. Yeah, I mean, if you're taking the Bashaud Tootens, the Cam Scadabos, the Zach Charbonnets, the Rashad Whites, you know, we listed Michael Carter. We went through that whole list and some of the names that we put out there at running back, woof. Even worse when you go to wide receivers. Even worse. So these are top 12 seasons. He listed out on this top 24 seasons. You can kind of make the case. If we're talking top 24, Adam, I think that's where you and I, when we're going through the list, we're having the holding serve, wait to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the position matters here quite a bit because, for example, a top 24 wide receiver season is checking a box for probably arrow up, frankly. That dynasty asset's going to go up. A top 24 quarterback finish is not guaranteed. Quarterback 24 finish is not guaranteed to rise. It to your point of tight ends, I mean, shit. Any tight end that's at 15 to 24, it definitely
signifying
any type of rise, right?
Right.
A running back might kind of hold serve, but I think the different asset here across top 24 is a totally different thing than they're almost their own individual slots there, right? Like,
yeah,
you could argue a quarterback that's a QB 15 definitely can go up in value, but if it's quarterback 24, it might not have made him go up in value at all. You know, I think each position needs to be looked at a little differently in the top 24 rank and realm.
Yeah, I think you're on to something too, and I'm gonna pull up Warp on this one right now, and I'll give you some names out of like a generic league. I got this one that I literally titled Do Not Delete because I use it for hit rates.
Nice.
Which, my bad, Barry, I just want to apologize to you. The reason I titled it Do Not Delete is because I did the same thing last year, except for my dumbass deleted the fucking league when I was trying to clean up my sleeper. So, woof.
Hey, the good news is we don't delete it. You know, now we know.
Now I know. I literally have to type Do Not Delete, Mike. Just... stop being an idiot. All right. So this is Warp. Let me pull up this single year. And for the people who get to watch it, you definitely get to see. I literally title it Hit Rate, Don't Delete. All right. Let me just look at the quarterbacks for now. But you're talking top 24, Adam. Brock Purdy has it. Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
Like, do we got anybody who's like a rookie around this range? Spencer Rattler. How much does Spencer Rattler really fucking matter at QB 26 so far?
His dynasty value hasn't even risen, even he's playing. I mean, right. You know.
Yeah, to your opinion. Okay, now let's look at like running backs. We'll contrast them right around that range. JCM?
Yeah. I mean, like that. That's the thing, though, right? A top 24 running back with some height behind him? Okay, hey, it's trending in the right direction. He's coming off of a big game. Kenneth Gainwell to the other contrast, though.
Chuba Hubbard at like 20...
And I think in particular with rookies, keep in mind, because the guy you're putting it next, Quinshon hasn't even played all of the games, right?
Right.
And sometimes when we look at rookies going into sophomore year, this is where actually the second round picks, Mike, I was going to get to this point, understanding this window. A lot of times rookies start slow, right? And then they start to really pick up steam second half, and that carries over all offseason tremendously. Think of Ladd McConkey. Like I talked about how the expectation in all these players when they're going off of a really good season, it changes, and now they have to be elite next year. I think that's one of the best and most pivotal times to get off of some of these second round players that have shown us something, and now it's like, okay, we can guarantee this is coming for the next 5 years out of this guy. That's what we do typically in Dynasty because of the way that the cycle goes.
I get you. Wide receivers kind of illustrate the point.
Marv?
Yep.
21.
Drake London?
Wow.
That's, you know what I mean?
Crazy to think.
Like Drake London at 24, literally on the nuts so far this season.
Right.
But I'm
thinking about Ricky P. Yeah, see, that would be arrow up, right?
Yep. Tet, you know, at 30. No, let's go like 36 and worse. You know what I mean?
Start at 36.
Lad on the downward trend. 36
right now. Think about that for a second.
Troy Franklin. Right, they're neck and neck, Troy Franklin and Ladd McConkey, but you think about what Ladd did last year versus what Troy Franklin did last year in the rookie year.
Of course.
Troy and, never regenerated.
Ladd has top 50 draft capital too, which is, you know, big in the NFL.
Yep. I think that's pretty important to illustrate. And the tight ends, what you talked about, like Zach Ertz, Brenton Strange.
Who gives a fuck, you know?
Mark Andrews, TJ Hockenson, Theo Johnson, you know.
Now, if you go to like, you know, towards the top 15, I mean, there we might be cooking with some
Brock Bowers, Tucker Kraft, Hunter Henry, Kyle Pitts.
You get into that top maybe 15 to 12 for sure, Mike. You have players that are, okay, hey, they showed me what I needed to see for value to go up.
Right, Dalton and Kincaid, big riser, right?
Huge. Absolutely.
I like that. How about one more thing on the warp tool just to illustrate it? Koopa has this great thing with rookie warp.
Yeah.
And we talk about these aren't based on ADP, right? These are just how rookies finish in a season. You know what I mean? Like who the 12th best rookie is. But you see, like at the top, these are probably pretty highly made up of guys who were first round rookie picks and probably pretty decent. You know, like if you want to translate it to this year, Emeka Buka would be in this range. You know what I mean? But he was a first round ADP kind of guy. You start to get down to here. Look at how little warp starts to matter. You get to the mid part of like second round-ish kind of guys who are going to fall into this category. Now, these are just finishes, not actual ADP. I just want to mention it. But on the graph, for those of you who can't really see, it looks like a lot of warp graphs where it matters at the top.
Yeah. Right?
And then you get this nice, steady fall off of just a tier of shit where it's not separated by a whole lot. You know what I mean?
Nice little decline.
And when we're talking dynasty value, if you're in a range where you're competing against, you know, let's just say you're a second round rookie pick and a guy that somebody drafted in the fourth round or fifth round or picked up off UDFA is doing basically the same thing as far as production goes, that's not a great territory to be in as far as dynasty value. Like all of a sudden you're pigeonholed into, dude, I spent a second round pick on you. And the guy that I'm competing against picked some dude up off of UDFA waivers after our rookie draft, and you guys are doing the same fucking thing for my league? That's wild. You know what I mean? And you want to talk about tanking dynasty value, that is the quickest way to do it, especially when you're getting compared to something that nobody spent anything on.
Yeah.
Hardly anything.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. I mean, it's I think the way I would describe my second round picks is it's flammable, but it's fleeting. Second round pick values can go way high. They can skyrocket.
They can.
I talked about Rondale Moore went from one game, Mike, in his rookie season. Literally, go back and if you won't mind pulling up his game log, I can try to do it too.
I got you, buddy.
I'm pretty sure he's had one good game in his whole career, but he had one good game, which was like over 100 yards based on like one big play too. He was worth a first-round pick, right? What do you got? Do you have it up?
No, just shout-out to Player Profile for still having him as Ant-Man.
Like
Ant-Man.
Picture. I remember this.
He hasn't deserved that in a long time, but there you are.
Honestly, no one looks, so they just leave it. You know, who cares?
Yeah, no one gives a shit.
And by the way, this was a speaking of the early breakout, this was like the early breakout of early breakouts, right?
Week two,
buddy.
Wide receiver six,
week two, right? So in his rookie season, right, week two, he has a huge week. worth a first. So flammable, meaning like, Mike, there's a lot of meat on the bone, I think, for a lot of these if you do take the player.
Look at that.
Yeah.
50% snap share. This should have been a signal.
Well, I mean, the thing was, here's the thing, Mike. Imagine you take away week three and below, right? If you went from 34 to 50 and you had a week six or a six overall finisher, like, okay, well, obviously the snaps are going to start coming. But look at what it finishes as. There was one game, I guarantee, due to injury, he played 80% of the snaps, right? Now, I mean, listen, hindsight's 20/20. But the point is, right, what I've learned the hard way by guys like Rondale Moore and moving forward is by believing, right? I was believing in Rondale Moore. I was like, this is a guy I've been watching. This is one of the hardest things, I think, to do in Dynasty is separate yourself from a guy that you're in on, you like, versus what is just sensible and what is logical. Wanting more than a 23 first here was being greedy, right? It was being very greedy. And guess what that greediness got me? Scrooge, you know? I got nothing. I'm penniless.
When we think about the big hits, right? The Sam LaPortas, the Trey McBrides, the Amon-Ra's, Nikos, Rashi, those kind of guys. When we think about them.
Yeah.
And when we look back, everybody who ended up selling like one of those guys, let's just say for a first, right? We'll just put it as a benchmark when they started doing some. Everyone who sent them at a first. Every single time you look at that and you go, damn, should have got more. I should have rode that train, you know, longer. I should have rode it to the top. Like you kick yourself. But I think what always gets lost is what about every fucking Tank Bigsby that you sold for a first? Every Rondell Moore that you sold for a first? I mean, we have so many of those guys. I'll pull up. Geez, let's go back to 2021. Every Kadarius Toney, every Michael Carter, every Terrace Marshall, every Trey Sermon that you sold for a first. Isn't that far outweighing the few that you got wrong? You know what I mean? Like, and to me, I think when we talk about dynasty value, and specifically when it comes to second round picks, I think we always want to like put our biggest losses as the ones like, man, that was a huge miss for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we want to sweep under the rugs the other ones that were massive fucking wins. Massive wins. Like dynasty franchise changing kind of wins. Every single person who's out there who sold Amari Rodgers at any kind of value is like, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. I never believed in him. You know? Yeah. I never cared. After the first time he took a jet sweep and got 2 yards when it should have been 50. I'm glad I got out of him. I would say this. I know people will clown you and make fun of you when you sell at 70, 80% value all the time. You know what I mean? But isn't there something to be said about doing the safe play more often than the risky play? Like I get it. You and I stick to a process pretty rigidly. For the most part, but we also have those moments where we go, I don't know if this is good process, but I'm going to fucking do it anyways. Sure, right. Yeah. Like we had those, I like to call them fizzle moments. Like you guys did a great show together too, but talking about analytics and like how we play Dynasty, you and I will be focused a little bit more on the analytics side than we are just gut feel. You and I will be focused a little bit more on the overall process of building dynasty teams, especially from a portfolio aspect. And we're going to then as a guy who maybe only plays in two or three leagues, you know what I mean? And their home leagues or they're with their buddies or their friends, they're doing it more for the fun aspect. You and I have fun, but we're also doing it for, we talk about this all the time. I mean, we should just get jobs at fucking McDonald's if we actually wanted to make money, but the thrill of winning leagues and dominating your fucking league mates and getting trades over on them and building these super, that's why we play the fucking game. And the money's nice. The money's nice. It's like more often than not, by doing our process and following through with it, we can win more money than what we put into it. Now, is it the best use of our time and resources? Fuck no, it's not. But there is something to it. It's a hobby that we like that ends up paying us money.
And for whatever it is worth, whatever side you're on there is fine. But for us, I think the fun is actually more in the process of GMing in a way, right? This process is more fun for us than necessarily just picking and saying one player. I do that too. Don't get me wrong. I want to have my cake and eat it too. But across the large majority, Listen, I love Malik Nabers. I love Rome. I love Emeka Egbuka, but you'll see me trade away all these guys as well.
So I say all that to say, like, isn't it just better if we're going to stick to more of our process, especially when it comes to these second-round guys? Of course, if we sold Amon-Ra after fucking five games at the end of his rookie year or whatever it was, and we got a first out of it, and now we're sitting here and Amon-Ra's still putting up fucking wide receiver one over all weeks left and right, and we're fuck, I wish I wouldn't have let him go. But when I look at the same class, man, if I did the same thing with Tony and Michael Carter and Rondell Moore and Terrace Marshall and Trey Sermon, I should be celebrating the process more. I should be celebrating, fuck, I am going to have some misses. It's the same thing that I apply when I draft NFL quarterbacks who get drafted in the first round higher than consensus in my rookie drafts, right? For every time I give you a Jaden Daniels and I take him 101 and I get to celebrate it, I do have just as many misses where, damn, I did take fucking Sam Howell too early. I did take Kenny Pickett. I did take Zach Wilson. Why can't we flip that around, though, and apply it to the second round as a whole, right? I'm going to have some misses. But as long as the hits outweigh the fucking misses, who cares? Who cares? I'm making progress. It's like trading for us. You know, we always talk about you don't have to win every trade. Just win 60, 65% of your deals. You're in a good fucking place.
I'm kind of viewing this, the second round picks, Mike. Let me just give you the parallel I'm having is I'm viewing this very much in the same conundrum or way that I'm trying to evaluate the tight end thing. Meaning I know inherently the tight end position doesn't really matter. And I want to move most of these guys, right? But I'm looking at this year and last year and the way in which the people... I sold Harold Fannin probably for a second anywhere I could before we even did anything or a couple thirds. I know inherently while maybe Harold Fannin doesn't end up panning out, what I left is the opportunity of any chance I had for a first. I mean, you apply that across the board generically to the tight end position. So it's almost like while it's the safer play, it's almost like understanding when to take your shots. Like when should I break away from the offense and go take my man one-on-one? When should I actually go for the green here? Is there a bunch of water in front? If I miss, I'm going to go in the water and taking, you know, three strokes. Sometimes it's also good to be aggressive. And I think sometimes here, the main play and main understanding is yes, 100% in the process, move on from them by and large. It should be the takeaway. I think if you're hearing this and wanting to like draft second round players with the idea of when Cam Scadabo is getting all the snaps, you're diligent enough to move him now, right? When those players do hit their peak or they're peaking, they don't even have, people didn't like my wording of this in the video I did. When they hit their peak. Okay, yes. I don't know when their peak is going to be per se, but if their value overall is up, it's peaking. That's a great time to move these players, especially knowing the overall picture is only going to bear probably 6-8 at tops in 5 years, top 50 assets that are legitimately scoring that way. So I think for me, it's knowing I want to move them, understanding my differences in leagues. And if you ever listen to the trade show and you're thinking about an episode like this, this is why for me, I like to pick hoard, why I like to push back on maybe getting a year or two down the road. Because if you get to re-roll, Mike, I'm telling you right now, when I'm looking at this list, 2023, right? Basically in the 2024 offseason, this is what their values were. So we're talking right now what the 2024 second round picks would be. Inside of the top 100, there was only Rashee Rice, Sam Laporta, and Will Levis was 99 because he was still going to be a starter that year, right? Mm-hmm. But basically, already we knew they're outside of the top 100 and only going to go down. So, yeah, you're going to have a chance to miss some of the, you know, really good assets, a Rashee, a Laporta, a Amon-Ra. But 80% of the time, you're also going to miss on a fucking Marvin Mims, a Desmond Ridder, a David Bell. Guys, their value goes to nothing. So, I think putting it in, trying to tier up to a player that's a little more safe or just getting future draft capital that you can kind of use that's a little more value protected from dip is the play here. But I think it's also something to be said to try to draft them and move the player when there is a peak in value. Because I honestly, I think, Mike, during the year, we could talk about this all day long. I think most often in most of my leagues during the year, people forget when they're fucking taken. They don't look at, was this guy a second round rookie pick? So they buy into the player, and that's when you can really, I think, reap some good rewards. I just think you got to be diligent. To me, If I drafted a second round rookie going into like his sophomore year, that's a great time to want to move him. I think going into year three, you are playing a dangerous game of their value could go to nothing in a hurry.
Either at that point they have hit, and they've hit in such a way that you go,
there's something here. I want to keep him. Right.
Yeah. But it can't be when I say hit, it can't be, I saw a couple games from him last year. You know what I mean? You can't tell yourself a story. You have to know. You know, I love to use the analogy, this dude in front of Congress asking him what porn is. Says you just know it when you see it. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you're going to know what a hit is when you see it, right? Ladd McConkey. You're going to know it when you see it, right? Nico Collins. You're going to know it when you see it. And Amon-Ra St. Brown. You'll know it when you see it. But I think that's a good one. Year one, you're very watchful. You're very watchful.
Right, right.
Year two, oh my God.
Your stove is starting to heat up. Yeah.
Your finger's on the proverbial trigger. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're putting pressure on it. You haven't reached that break point where it's going to go off yet, but your finger's on that thing. And by year three, it's either you need a shit or get off the pot now.
Yeah.
No question. Yeah.
For example, to your point again, Mike, now let's think about this. If we're going into year three and you've either seen some signs or not enough, you should be wanting to shit, right? Get off the pot. That point, Mike, I would say this. If you can even sell for 50% of what you bought into, that's still a win. You're still getting out for something.
Right, like re-roll. So let's give it. These are the year three guys.
Okay.
Right now. Our class is Zach Charbonnet. That's where we started. Right?
Mike, here's the truth about Zach Charbonnet. If you need him on a contender, like he's a plugged-in flex, you may not want to do this, but I would say this is where is a perfect example. Sharp's probably right now, if you go look at Key Trade Cut, it's worth a second round pick somewhere. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, 26 sucks. I don't want that 26 second. That's a fucking fantastic reroll, frankly.
It is.
Even if Kenneth Walker got hurt and Sharp's took off, it's a great reroll.
Kendre Miller.
I mean, you can easy. You get, honestly, if you can get a third or a third plus, I mean, that's a W.
Michael Mayer.
Here's the thing. Brock Bauer's been hurt all this time, and he's not even playing. There's not even a chance to re-roll Michael Mayer now, you know?
We good. Jonathan Mingo's completely dead, so...
Right.
Give me a fourth.
If you could get anything from him, fab money,
a
fifth.
$1.
Yeah, it's in W. You can't sell him, though.
How about this one, though? Josh Downs.
You know what? I'm going to... This is an interesting one. The trutherisms, right? The crowds, there's just like a, honestly, I think it's partly, I'm not blaming Matt Harmon here, but Matt Harmon's really good and gives him great scores. Mm-hmm. And I think that has weighed into his cult following, just being not wanting to move off of him. I'm actually going to go just right now to Key Trade Cut though, and just see
where
he's at. And let's just keep picks and wide receivers, right? Let's just
one of the other things you brought up, Matt Harmon. I love his reception perception work. Matt Harmon's fucking great for the dynasty fantasy community. I love what he does.
Yeah.
Here's the only thing, and I think Matt Harmon would even tell you about this one. He put up a route chart for Michael Pittman Jr., you know, the biggest competition for Josh Downs on the same fucking team, that was just as good as Josh Downs. But social media, our dynasty community, our fantasy football community, only really gives a shit about the Josh Downs one because the cult following is so big.
Yeah.
Right? So they take that one, and that's the one that gets pushed to everybody out there.
Well, because Downs is in the earlier part where he's still sexy or hasn't failed yet. Where
I think I saw Matt Harmon
had a down year or two, and the community's over. Right?
I know Matt Harmon loves Downs, but he also does like Pittman too, and his route chart is very good. I think I even saw Matt Harmon put out a tweet a couple weeks ago after Michael Pittman had another game, and Josh Downs still really isn't getting on the field. Just like, hey, don't forget that Michael Pittman's also pretty fucking good at football too.
Well, and I'm looking here, right? I was going to say for me, I would be happy to get a second, although that may not be possible. And I think some people might say they want more. But I'm looking right now, Key Trade Cut has at the moment, wide receiver 46, Josh Downs sandwiched right between the 27 and 26 seconds, which, Mike, I was telling this to E on America's Game a few weeks back. We're in the first part of my lifetime where I've ever remembered and seen in Key Trade Cut where 27s are being valued ahead of 26s. People are actually pressing the button that way. So the time decay point is he's right in the middle. So I think re-rolling him for me, I'm not a huge Downs homer, so I it'd be easy for me. But I think for anyone in general, you get a second, man, take the pick.
To say that last point, you know, about the first time in your life that you think you've seen this where 27 is more valuable than 26, that's saying something too, because we had a 22 class that we kind of pegged as, ugh, like we don't, you know, yeah. I mean, right before the draft, you know what I mean? And I don't even think we saw that switch. And 23 was supposed to be the class that was promised. You know, we were supposed to have 87 running backs who were all first round talents. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. It was going to be the class of all classes. It didn't end up that way.
Right.
But even then, back in the earlier keep, trade, cut, dynasty value kind of days, I don't think we even came close to where 23 was valued more than 22 at that time.
No, not by consensus. And I think one of the smaller points that's driving that home though, Mike, is that 27 is strong suited at the wide receiver position early, meaning one quarterback, super flex, all formats. It's basically leaning to that is the what everybody wants in dynasty right now, right? So I think that's like the flip it out over. And for 26, most people that are somewhat trying to defend it are basically just telling you value of the picks, right? They're not talking about a player at all, or they're trying to lean into the quarterbacks, which might not even care about in Superflex. So I think that's part of why we're seeing that. But it's just interesting because I've never seen it actually charted where it's like, hey, 27 ahead of 26, right?
Rashee Rice, listen, I think that's like the porn analogy. You know it when you see it. We saw it last year, right?
Listen, you take this and run with it. Whatever it finishes as, you finish with it.
As much as I talked down about him, it wasn't because, yeah, I think you need to take any second for Rashee Rice. Like, the conversation was, listen, if somebody's offering you two first for him, I think I would because of all the off-the-field stuff, right? The injury and Xavier Worthy being pretty fucking good at football. But, yeah, I don't think Rashee Rice deserves to be in that conversation. Roshan, fucking whatever. Like, who cares? Marvin Mims, buddy, I think the third conversation, give me a third for Mims and you can have him.
I mean, yeah, I don't think with a guy like Mims, it's most of the players on this list, right? Especially when you go back, the further you go back, like, I mean, you're talking about just, I mean, give me anything. That's going to be the theme, right?
Right.
Give me anything over that player. So it's kind of, to me, it's a bet knowing the odds aren't good that you hit. If it does hit, though, there's probably some real big upswing, right? These probably could be difference makers because their draft capital's fringy, right? Their prospect profile is fringy. Prospect profile is fringy. I don't know what the hell I just said there, but it wasn't what I meant to say. But all those things end up being, when they do hit, it probably pushes them more into the elite mix or closer to that, right? But what's the truth? More often than not, you're going to erode this pick into the ground. Literally, whatever you spent on it is going to be wasted. So, again, in a process, I'm looking to sell within that first to second year in a big way at some point. And, Mike, I think once you get to the end of your sophomore year, and definitely going into year three, you're going to find some people probably that like Quentin Johnston technically doesn't meet the threshold because he was a first round pick, but you probably could find some rare diamond in the roughs like that, right? That you happen to break the trend and, oh my God, they came out of nowhere and gave you some value. But you're betting on a fucking complete enigma. That's what you're doing, right? So I think moving off of them for 60 cents, 50 cents, 70 cents on the dollar going into that year three keeps you back in the mix of some asset that has more flammability again.
And I don't think there's anything that fully represents that more than Jaden Reed.
There you go.
You want to talk about after year one? Boost. And then the early part of last year, you know, we did a lot of dynasty trade shows with Jaden Reed getting fucking, wow, you got that for Jaden Reed?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, to your point about the timeline, that was like an even bigger peak than I'm just getting a first for a guy I spent a late second on. You know what I mean? You were really capitalizing. But now... We've seen this fall, right? It's continual fall. Here we are in year three. We have another injury to deal with. Jaden Reed. Is this one where you would just re-roll for a second? Or are you willing to bet on some sort of rebound, possibly?
I think for a second I'd re-roll. I think a lot of times people will try to either give you a player that's not quite worth a second or in the range. They'll try to get... If I'm in the third territory, Mike, or a player that's just not very movable in the second round range... I think I'd stick with Jaden Reed just because I think people will buy back in the offseason. But just to give you, right, Jaden Reed, when you drafted him, at the time of drafting, he was 151 overall. So this is going to be Mike in May of 2023 here. At his peak, or when he was peaking, overall asset 56, wide receiver 24 on keep trade cut, right? And he in that offseason last year already fell to overall number 80. And if you look right now, we can give you a number as well. Let's see if we can. Where is he on keep trade cut at the moment?
He is 130.
Yeah, 130, wide receiver 48, right? So he's kind of trending right around a second round pick. I think he's probably a perfect example of a reroll. If you want to believe in him, I get it. I just personally am looking at it thinking, okay, they drafted another receiver. Even if it doesn't go great with Golden here, I mean, who's to say they won't draft another receiver next year? And will Jaden Reed actually ever mean in fantasy more than what that second round pick could mean in a future trade? I would bet probably more often than not, no. But he's probably one of the tougher ones to evaluate, especially because of the injury. Because I think, Mike, if you don't have the injury this year, we will end up knowing by the end of this year where we should stand on this. The injury makes it like, oh, fuck, I just want to get out, right? But if you wanted to buy in, I get it. I personally wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably a good point. I'm probably leaning. I'm good, man. You give me a second, I can re-roll this. We're done.
Yep.
We're done. I don't want to ride this train no more. Now, you kick yourself a little bit, because if you would have capitalized on when he was going for first plus, and well, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. When he was overall asset 56, you think about that. Asset 56 with draft picks in it, Mike. You're talking, bro, he's valued very highly. I remember getting some steals trading away Jaden Reed. So he's a perfect example of why I want to capture some flammability, why I want to draft some of these second round picks. But man, one, you'll have players that don't peak at all, right? Like, you'll have players that literally won't go up at all from the moment you press the button. Sometimes those are the ones you need to just take that 50, 60% on the dollar and go. But Mike, I think in general, more often than not, these bets are just going to be bad bets. I'd stick away from. And frankly, I think when you're trading, if you can use second round picks to get to legit assets, elite assets, first round assets, those are things you should be considering. Even if you keep trade cut or whatever calculator you're looking at says you're losing the deal, baking that in, I think I'll just get out of the business earlier than often, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you, man. Well, this was a good one. I'm glad we did it. We started and teased it last week, but we put a nice little bow on it. I need to get my ass in gear on these contending teams. And it's already started this past week. I had a lot of people offer me, you know, I got rebuilding teams. You know what I mean? I got teams that I'm ready to kick down the road, because this fantasy season has been fucking brutal so far.
Yeah.
I got teams I'm ready to hit the eject button on. And when I got some contender out there offered me a second round pick for some of these players, Adam, it's creeping into my mind where I go, am I actually going to be able to move this, right?
Right.
Am I going to be able to package this, you know, come draft time? Do I even want to risk it where I know I have to move this, because I had a sneaky suspicion this was going to be dog shit. So there's quite a few deals that people were offering me seconds for players, Adam, that I said, nah, we'll figure out how to rework this where it's something that makes sense for me. You know, no, let's do a tear down. Let me get a third and, you know, another player that maybe isn't performing, or maybe he's injured or whatever it is. You know, I don't really want your second.
No, for sure. I think when you think about this too, right? For me, I probably, where I'm at with my portfolio, wanting to stay in that 20 range, somewhere between like 18 and 22, 23 leagues. That number, Mike, I think I'm going to be able to be a lot more diligent about, okay, let me really try to forcefully pivot out of some of these players when the time's right. When you get to 40, 30, probably 30, 40, 50 leagues, dude, honestly, that's a headache that you probably, even if you wanted to take it on, you can't do equally and often across all those leagues, right? So I think sometimes it's okay to have a different approach, knowing it's going to make more sense for what you're dealing with for yourself. I mean, so for example, if you're in five leagues, shit, man, I'm probably taking all these second round picks and trying to fucking finesse the hell out of these players when they are at peak, right?
Good point.
You're at 20, maybe you want to do more of that. But if you're at 40 leagues, you're probably kidding yourself if you think you're going to go through all these leagues and be very on top of it. And if you can do that, dude, listen, you put in enough time to where you deserve to get that profit, because that's going to be an exorbitant amount of time that you're putting into that.
I put in a lot of time sometimes, but it's not even near enough, because there are rookie drafts that I show up, the draft button gets pushed, and I'm like, I didn't even know I had this pick.
Yeah. Wait, I did what with this one? Yeah.
What the fuck? I didn't even know I had this one. So I thought it was a great discussion, man. It definitely changed my outlook, especially on how we value second round picks. I'm fully convinced that we overvalue them as a community. And as contenders, I need to be more aggressive in actually getting production onto my team for these seconds and capitalize them. But yep. Be very okay with the, you know, I hate to pick on them, the Javonte Williams types of the world, right? Especially when I can go get him for seconds and enjoy how many ever weeks he's going to give me of good RB2, maybe RB1 production. And lately, it's been a lot of RB1 production. So that would have been a massive boon, because I'm not really missing out that much. And then Adam, to your points, you made some excellent ones about the timeline of what we need to do with them. I really think, man, just going back to 23 and looking at those second round kind of guys, you're in scary fucking times right now if you're holding on to some of these assets. Now,
it's spooky season, legitimately.
Rashi, right? You're still feeling good, but Josh Downs,
Laporta, and Rashi, Reed, you're in the clear, right? Everybody else, you're having spooky season combos with entire class.
Sam Laporta is another discussion for another day, just because he plays the tight end position.
Sure, but where you drafted him, if right now, if you drafted him in a rookie draft, you're feeling fine, right?
You're feeling great.
So. But aside from those two assets, Mike, look at the rest of the class. This is 2 years ago's rookie draft. I mean, Will Levis is already dead, right? Kendre, scary. Michael Mayer, very scary. I mean, Mingo. There's some people that are literally towards the top that are literally completely zeros in Dynasty. No one gives a absolute fuck.
No. So, you got to do a lot of scrolling on Keep Trade Cut to find out where the hell they are.
So just thinking about it from that standpoint, too, Mike, if you have a Downs, you have a... I mean, Roshan feels about as dead as it gets, too. But a Downs, a Mims, you know, a Jaden Reed, a Tank Bigsby, man, you take anything you can get. I imagine, since the trade, by the way, we haven't seen any of Bigsby, really. So he's probably another dead asset as well, right?
Listen, Howie wins a lot of deals, buddy. And I'm very happy Howie Roseman's our GM. But I don't know what the fuck that was about.
He's just like a lot of us, though. I mean, Mr. Wonderful, all these guys that win a lot of deals, they still lose some deals, you know? And that one was just, what was the point?
Fifth and a sixth for what, our four string running back, I guess. So we can return kicks, I guess. Yeah.
No, special teams is important.
Ain't that important, Adam.
Well, that's all we've got. That was a really fun one, honestly. And when everyone's overvaluing those seconds in your league, just remember, when your league mates are playing chess, play 40 chess.
Let's go, buddy. I appreciate you, man. Great episode. We'll see everybody back here, same time, same place next week. We love you. We're out of here. Peace.
Peace.